Blog Talk Radio.
Father God, we praise you. We are commanded, we are admonished, we are instructed through your scripture to praise you in, during good times and during bad times, because it just unleashes glory upon us that we are unable to see, that we are unable to feel or experience, and we have no knowledge of. But through faith, we praise you for all those things. We praise you for the trials and tribulations. We praise you for the things that we don't have control over. We praise you for the things that make us cry sometimes, many times a day, out of frustration or desperacy or whatever the case may be. Father, we just lift you up and we magnify your name and we thank you for being a loving and kind Father. While we are unable to see why and understand why it is that we are going through or the various challenges that are presented to us in our lives, that we have to walk through these various, types of fires, we'll call it a analogous to, you know, broken glass on the ground or hot coals. We don't understand why, but there's a supernatural, there's a beyond our comprehension, a meaning behind all of these things. Beyond our comprehension, there are rewards that we will receive in heaven that we don't even understand, nor can we even begin to understand or comprehend. And we thank you, Father, for being a good Father, that through your loving kindness, through the multitude of your tender mercies, Lord, that you would allow us to suffer in the ways that we do suffer, whether it be, you know, just bad thinking on our part. Maybe we're not looking at things the way we ought to look at them. Maybe we are failing to recognize how blessed we are and how fortunate we are in the various situations that we're thrust into. And we just want to lift you up and praise you, Father, because we know that we are in the best possible hands that we could be in. We may not understand it, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, our thoughts are not your thoughts. Your thoughts are not, your ways are not our ways. Father, we just understand these things. We thank you for helping us to understand them, and we just want to be able to walk through them with the greatest amount of grace that is possible for each of us as we grow, through a combination of our own effort and prayer to come to a new place in our walk, a new understanding and a new grace, a grace whereby our hearts are okay with going through what we perceive in the flesh as being an exceedingly challenging period in our life. And Father, there are so many more people out there that we pray for and we lift up even during this prayer vigil that are going through so much worse than what we are. And we have to remember that and thank you and praise you for our ability. We're not crumpled over in pain. We don't have tubes going in and out of us. We're not stuck in a hospital. We're not living in a country. You know, many of us are not living in a country where we have no options or where there is absolutely zero food. Or there are wars, and not just wars and rumors of wars, but there are literally bullets flying and armies moving through our various neighborhoods. We haven't come to most of us have not come to that place yet. But there are brothers and sisters of ours that are in countries that are in exceedingly difficult, much more difficult places than some of us are in right now. And Father, we got to keep our hearts. We got to remember our brothers and sisters that are in these places. We got to remember that the trials and tribulations and the difficulties and the struggles that we are going through are nothing in comparison to what many of our brothers and sisters in Jesus are going through. And remember that and take advantage of the strengths and the blessings that we have in our life to spend more time in prayer for those who are hurting and in very difficult and underprivileged places in the world, and use the prayer power that we've been given as that gift to bring down heaven's resources, heaven's angels, and heaven's glory into their world, so that they're able to come to a new place in their walk and be able to better endure the awful things that they are going through. Thank you for helping us to keep things in perspective, and we just praise your holy name and just glorify. And as the scripture admonishes us to do, we praise you and glorify in these things that we're going through, because we know that the things that we're experiencing are going to bring us, they are indeed, through faith, we recognize that they will bring us to a new place, just a wonderful place. We don't understand it now, but blessed is he who believes but has not seen. And we thank you for helping us to understand these things, and we just praise your holy name, Father, for you alone are worthy. We ask you for an outpouring and an anointing of from your throne room, a supernatural anointing upon our lives, that we would be able to continue this journey with greater grace, with greater peace of mind, with greater strength, greater power, and a much more positive and happy, joy-filled attitude about those things which appear to be, well, pretty crummy, but yet we have to go through room. We simply do not have any other choice. And we just thank you for you being you, Father. We thank you that we're able to toss all of our woes and our sadnesses and our frustrations at your feet, and Lord Jesus, at the foot of your cross, and know that you are there for us, that you are doing mighty works on behalf of us and on behalf of those of whom we pray. And we thank you for these trials and tribulations. We praise you for the difficulties that we're going through. And we ask you, Lord, if you would anoint us with a type of an attitude adjustment, that you would help us to renew our minds, and that we would be able to regroup in the presence of the Holy Spirit, recognizing that we aren't in such a bad situation after all, and that as the black walls of the demonic world that encrust this planet close in even deeper and harder against our lives and the people that we know and in some cases members of our families, we've been admonished and told through the tongue of the prophets over more than a decade of time that we're going to enter into a time here on this earth that that is going to be far, far more difficult than what we're experiencing today. And we need that grace. We need your abundant grace, your manifold grace, Father God, to be to just infuse within our body, soul, spirit, flesh, and heart in such a way that we conquer the concerns, and the renewing of our mind results in a whole new attitude of glory whereby we see these things as a blessing and preparation for the days that we have ahead. And Father, we need to spend more time in prayer. We recognize this, more time seeking you for the direction that we need to be walking in. We need to be able to hear your still small voice, and that voice in our ear behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever we turn to the left hand or whenever we turn to the right, and know that we can absolutely trust you. If we could just come to that sweet spot in our walk where we look at the things that are insurmountable problems in our lives, or at least seemingly insurmountable, and recognize that we're able to trust you. And then know that we are in your hands, and that the outcome will ultimately be okay and good, even if that positive outcome doesn't happen until eternity. We give you all the praise, worship, glory, and honor, Father God, and thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to serve you in these days that are challenging and will indeed become far, far more challenging. Father, we worship you across time and space. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will hear our prayers as a united corporate voice across the entire world. Those who are praying in a recorded prayer vigil and a podcast, we pray that their united prayers will join us even in the live stream, and it will be heard as one voice where not just two or three, but many, many more are gathered together and exercise the authority and power that you have given us through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and your word to change things across this world, to change things for people who are in much worse situations, and to also bring us blessings in accordance with the promises of your word in the divine scripture that come for those of us who put an effort forth and work hard as best as we can with the strength that we have to serve you and to bless others. And we just give you all the praise, worship, honor, glory, Father God, for you alone are worthy. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being our advocate. We thank you for bringing us through so many things. I can speak for myself. I can't speak for others. I know there are others that have probably been brought through far more difficult things than I've ever experienced. And Father, may we always remember, may we always have it be impressed upon our heart as a part of our walk to raise our hands, to speak in tongues, to give you that glory that you are due, recognizing that through that praise, the walls of Jericho fell. Through that praise, the shackles fell off of Paul and really set the captives free in the entire prison system and allowed everybody to walk freely out of the buildings, even in the midst of an earthquake, just on account of the praise praise and the worship and the singing of songs to you, Father. And we have to recognize that if we, you know, we limit you again and again, the Israelites, Psalm 78:41, they limited you, Father. They limited the Holy One of Israel. They tempted you and limited the Holy One of Israel. And Father, we don't want to be those people. We do not want to limit you in our life, your ability to work in our lives, by virtue of how we feel in the flesh. We pray that you will help us to overcome those feelings and to learn to walk. It is a learning process, and we pray that you will help us, Father God, that you will help us to learn to walk, to change the way that we think about things, to recognize that what appears to be just an awful curse kind of a thing coming down upon us is actually in many cases a blessing, and to give you glory for that, to be those people singing your praises, to bring down your power, for the Lord God inhabits the praises of his people, and let us learn to give you praise amidst all of these trials and tribulations, not only now, but in the days ahead. We give you all the praise, worship, honor, and glory, Father God. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to even have a job. So many people don't have jobs. So many people have lost their jobs. So many people have gotten fired for not taking vaccines. So many people are on lockdown. They're not even allowed to leave their house, or they'll be beaten half to death by the police. And what we used to see or perceive as civilized countries have turned into horrible countries, like Australia in a lot of the places in that country. Father, in Austria, the people are locked down in a horrible way, almost as if they are being totally imprisoned within their own homes. And they are indeed. Lord, we just thank you for wherever we are in our lives. We pray for those and shall pray for those who are in much worse situations. And we just ask you to anoint us with the oil of gladness, that we are constantly giving you praise, constantly worshiping you, no matter how difficult our situation is, knowing that when we trust you, we will be brought to a place of perfect peace. We thank you for Isaiah 26:3, where you have promised us, Father, and we hold it up. We hold it up to you because we glorify it. We want to hold it up to you. We want to hold up to our Father, our dear Father, our Abba Father, that it says you will keep us in perfect peace because our minds are stayed on you, because we trust you. And we praise your holy name that we can. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Tonight is December the 3rd of 2021, the 29th of Kislev, 5782. Today is actually the next Hebrew holiday, which is Hanukkah, day number 5, December the 3rd of 2021. Hallelujah. And the time now is 7:17 p.m. on the east coast of the United States of Babylon the Great. And tonight, together, we light the Sabbath candles. I like to light 3. One for the Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. One for the Son. Thank you, thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, we praise your name. Thank you for advocating for us. Thank you for pulling us out of the pit. Thank you for keeping us, for getting us back on, steadying our journey on that narrow path, even though we may have slipped and fallen down the hill a couple of times. Oh, Lord, we just thank you. We praise you. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in us. We pray that you will just infuse your very presence of joy and peace and gladness in the energies that make up who we are in this very unusual type of a particle physics hologram experience that we're going through. Help us, Father, we pray in Jesus' name, to always recognize that what we see is not what really is, that this is the temporary realm, and that the eternal realm is so amazing. No eye has seen nor ear has heard the things which our Father has stored up for us because we love you. And that means they're even more amazing than the testimonies of those who have been taken to glory. Otherwise, that scripture wouldn't be accurate. And we know that it is. And we thank you for all the wonders, for all the glory, for all the beauty, for all the love, for all the companionship, for all the exciting things that we're going to see, experience, we're going to learn, and what we're going to become for all of eternity. Certainly the longest and most amazing journey that anyone has ever been offered. And we praise you, Lord, for offering it to us. May we perpetually and always recognize this experience here on this earth for what it actually is. A breeze, a zephyr blowing across a field, quickly forgotten. Let us always remember to look back on our lives and take note of how fast those things actually did go by, and pay far less attention to that mountain that we see in front of us that we have to climb and can climb, because you are our Abba Father. We pray for your strength and thank you for it. Thank you, Jesus, for all of your help and your power and the faith that you have given us to be able to conquer all things that are presented to us and appear to be an obstacle, but are truly not. Indeed, a blessing, albeit one we cannot understand now, but someday shall. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you, Father God. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Hebrew Kaddish.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei peri hagafen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kitchanu b'mitzvotav v'ratzavanu, v'shabat kodsho v'ahava uv'ratzon hinchilanu, zikaron lemase v'reshit. Ki hu yom techila lemikrae kodesh, Zecher Yetziat Mitzrayim. Kivanu vacharta v'otanu kidashta mikol ha'amim. V'shabbat kodshecha be'ahava uv'ratzon hinchaltanu. Baruch atah Adonai mekadesh ha'shabbat.
Arise, my love, my beautiful companion, and run with me to the higher place. For now is the time to arise and come away with me, for you are my dove, hidden in the split-open rock. It was I who took you and hid you up high in the secret stairway of the sky. Let me see your radiant face and hear your sweet voice. How beautiful your eyes are in worship, and lovely your voice is in prayer. You must catch those troubling foxes, those sly little foxes known as sins that hinder our relationship. They raid our budding vineyard of love to ruin what I have planted within you. Will you catch them and remove them for me? Yes, we will, Lord. And we will do it together. Thank you, Jesus.
In all he does. does our very righteous acts No slander will you find upon his tongue, and never to his friend does he do wrong. His neighbor knows no insult from his lips. His eyes despise the man of wickedness, but honors every heart who fears the Lord. But honors every heart who fears the And even though his own may cause him pain, his faithful word forever stays the same. When money lends, he seeks no selfish gain. The bribe against the innocent is stained. The one who does these things will not be moved. The one who does these things will not be The one who does these things will not be moved. The one who does these things will not be moved.
God. I wanted to share something with you tonight, which I think is just a beautiful, beautiful blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Because, you know, sometimes when we're, blessed is he who believes and who has not seen, you know, when you're in a constant and continuous daily state of not seeing the results of your prayers, it can be quite discouraging indeed, but we have to continue forward no matter what. And we also have to, and my goodness gracious, am I raising my hand right now? Okay. I'm raising my hand, guilty as charged. We have to remember not to limit God. And that's really hard because the moment that we, you know, we're like, oh, we're frustrated with this situation, or we just can't believe we're getting thrown into the fire again. Okay. When we have that feeling in our heart that, doggone it, why me? Why, you know, why do I have to go through this again? You know, when we have that feeling in our heart, it actually limits our Heavenly Father. Okay, which is captured again, and I can't read these verses enough. I'm going to be perfectly frank with you. I've read them probably in some cases 50, 60, 70 times, and every time I take another look at them, I always seem to see just a little bit more. There's just a little bit more that resonates or jumps off the page at me. And again, Psalm 78, 41 to 42 says, yes, again and again, they, referring to the Israelites, tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. And verse 42 goes on to say, they did not remember his power. So what happens is I'm going to go ahead and give my testimony, and it may apply to you too. I don't know. I hope it blesses you. But what happens is I get so frustrated with the situation that I'm thrust into, and I get particularly frustrated when I'm already proactively praying against it, because I believe in the power of prayer. I believe that when I am praying for such things, that they shall be given me. Okay, because that's what my Bible tells me. That's what my Jesus said to me. And so hence you as well. Mark 11:23, Jesus said, have faith in God, for whatever you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive it, and you will have it. Okay, but then we got to remember to praise. And so how do you end up tempting God? How do you end up limiting the Holy One of Israel? Well, it's because at any time that we're presented with a challenge in our lives, no matter what it is, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be something really super bad, or it could just be our perception of the situation that we feel that we're kind of stuck in, or whatever the case may be. It's real easy for the darkness to inject fiery darts of resentment into our heart, or a spirit of feeling sorry for ourselves. And what happens is it robs us of that, what we ought to be feeling. What we should be doing is the opposite of what the Israelites did when they tempted God and were frustrated with the situation that they had when they were in the desert. They were frustrated. They, you know, they complained, they bickered, they were unhappy. They were, you know, instead of just saying, you know what, I'm in God's hands. This is all God. And praising him and thanking him and giving him glory, because at that moment when we choose, and I do mean we actively choose to praise God in a situation where we have every fleshy reason in the world to take a glass out of the cabinet in the kitchen and just throw it in frustration on the ground and say, I can't take it anymore. You know, but problem is we forget. And many of us have not even been shown scripturally that at the point that we're, you know, frustrated with our situation, unhappy, we're crying, we can't believe we're getting stuck with that big bag of flaming ugly again, even though we've been praying against it. When we have that negative feeling that overwhelms us, like water just washing over the top and just completely takes us over, and at that moment of time, our spirit and our communication with our Father goes negative. And at that point, we are tempting God because we are forgetting that he is in control. We are no longer acknowledging that he loves us, that he's got us in his hand, that we are walking in divine protection, that, you know, we forget those things. And what happens is we ultimately end up, just as the Israelites did in the desert, tempting God. And when we tempt him, we limit him. So things that he could have done for us, things that he could, the deliverance that he could have given us, he could have changed the circumstances on the earth in such a fashion that we would not have had to go through that next chapter of ugly. But instead, because of the way that we reacted, we limit God, and then we end up having to go through a whole bunch of more ugly because we forgot to praise. We forgot that God has got this. God's got this. Okay, that's the thing we have to, through the renewing of our mind, which I believe is a type of cognitive behavioral therapy whereby we basically intercept and grab a hold of all negative thoughts. We wrestle them to the ground, and we replace them with praise. And that is a very, very, very hard thing to do. And but the blessings that just well up and spring forth from that change of our heart, from our choice to give praise to God, no matter how ugly the situation appears to be in our fleshy, earthly eyes, when we do that, when we arrest that negativity and we convert it into praise and glory to God, it changes the entire dynamic. Otherwise, this scripture would essentially be a fib. And we know that it's not a fib. We know that the Israelites did tempt God. We know that by virtue of their attitude, the way that they felt, the frustration that was in their heart, all those things ultimately limited what God was able to do for them. Now, this reflects back clearly beyond any shadow of a doubt. I know this in my heart. This clearly reflects back to the rules of the courts of heaven. Why so? Because the rules of the courts of heaven, our Father is the Most High. He is the El Elyon. He is the judge of all, the God of gods, Yahweh El, of all the universes, of all of creation. And those rules, you know, there are, like, on earthly courts, we have rules. If the lawyers in the earthly courts break the rules, they can be held in contempt of court. If the participants in the court proceedings do not follow the rules, they can be removed from the court. But there are rules that the judges have to follow. Now, whether or not we, you know, and in the earthly realm, there are dynamics that are influenced by the darkness that surrounds us, and that's true for sure. But in our Heavenly Father's courts of heaven, that's different. God Himself and our Lord Jesus Christ designed these rules. They put them into place probably so long ago that we cannot even quantify that amount of time. I would just simply say before there even was time. And during the creation of, during the actual design of creation, our Father and our Lord Jesus made those rules which govern all of the quadrillions, and I do say quadrillions knowing that that's not even a recognized word, because I want to emphasize how big this is. We're talking about quadrillions of civilizations, galaxies. We don't even know how many universes we're talking about here. We don't have any clue how many realms and dimensions that are involved here, how many civilizations of beings and species of beings that are involved in all of God's creation. We have no clue. We have no idea how big this all is. We know it's big. We just don't know how big. And when we start to get our arms around that and we recognize how big it is, and that God is he is the Most High. He is the one who presides over, he's the Supreme Court of all of creation. And when we recognize that, it can help us to be able to see things through a perspective that aids our ability to wrestle the negative feelings that we're inclined to embrace and recognize the glory that we might be able to receive from God if we do not limit him. In order to not limit, evidently our Heavenly Father, when you study the scripture, and also Isaiah 43:25 reflects this as well, many other scriptures do as well, evidently our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ established those rules, and they follow those rules to a T, which also, once again, evidently, is part of what being holy, the our Father is the Most Holy, and you know, that's why the scripture will refer to our Father as holy, holy, holy. Whenever anything is said three times, let me tell you what, you can interpret that as being mega holy. Okay, and that's exactly what the implication is when you see something repeated three times: holy, holy, holy. And so because our Father is holy, 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 he follows his own rules, even in regard, and it breaks his heart. It's all over the Bible. We don't even understand. We don't comprehend these things. Can you imagine what it must be like, what it, you know, as a mother or a father, you know, if you have children, to see your child crying, to see your child in a really crummy, 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 crummy place. But because of the rules that you are mandated to follow, you must follow them. Because of those rules, you are unable to help your child. You can't. You've been limited. Your hands are tied. How sad that must be for our Father. How sad that must be for our Lord Jesus to have literally, because they're holy and they're following the rules that were established to govern all of creation. So when we allow our hearts and minds to sink into the negative, like I do so frequently, we ultimately limit God. So the miracle that could have happened, that could have changed the next several weeks, instead of having something really wonderful happen, you end up having to go through a whole lot more ugly, maybe even far worse than you would have had to if you would have remembered not to limit God. Praise Jesus. I wanted to share that with you because it's directly applicable to some of the things that I'm going through. And I've also come to the conclusion that the Lord wants me to go through them. I know that's kind of a crummy thing, you know, to embrace, but I've been going through my challenges for so long with such fervent prayer, with many other people helping me pray, that, you know, at some point you realize that there's kind of like a destiny there. And that destiny needs to be embraced as a good thing. And there needs to be praise and worship and glory given to God for those things. And that requires us to intercept in flight the negative tendencies that we all have and to not limit God so that we can bask in the miracle that he would have given us, that deliverance from that challenging period of our lives that we could have experienced but forfeited. Because we failed to intercept it. We allowed our hearts and our minds to go kind of into the toilet, and we got frustrated. We got angry, maybe in our, you know, like, I can't believe I'm having to go through this again kind of a thing. Instead of just saying, thank you, Father, praise you, Father, look at it as a challenge, give God glory, allow the joy of the Holy Spirit to fill you and really you have to just kind of, you know, grab it, take it, and switch it around. Don't let it go into the dumpster. Pull it back up, turn it into praise and worship, and watch the amazing things that God can do to change the course that looks like, that appears in your eyes to be inevitable. Praise God. But they're not inevitable. They're not inevitable. And once we get control of that tendency to go into the dirt, into the negative, that swing to the negative, like, oh, I can't believe this is happening again, that's when we limit God and we forfeit the blessing that we could have received from him as our Most High, who loves us and wants to be able to help us, but is following the rules of he who is holy, holy, holy. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And on that note, I'm going to play this awesome prayer song. I mean, this awesome praise song. And then I'm going to share with you another super awesome, duper cool testimony that was, I don't know, somehow miraculously found its way to me. I try to hide from the world as much as I can, but I sometimes can't do it. And I would just say that'd be the will of the Father. And but I praise God that I did indeed open this email. I don't even remember who sent it to me, but I got a hold of it, and I'm excited to be able to share it with you because it is a confirmation, a very supernatural confirmation of the prayer power that is associated with how we pray on this program together. Okay, so before I go into that testimony and share with you this other individual's testimony, which is a confirmation for all of us, let's go ahead and lift up the Lord in praise for the challenges that we have in our lives even today. Praise his holy name, and thank you, Jesus.
Humble my heart.
Lord, let me always long for you and humble my heart. Lord, let me always lean on you and humble my heart. Humble my heart. Humble my heart. Lord, let me always walk in you and humble my heart. Humble my heart. Humble my heart. Lord, let me always worship you and humble my heart. Humble my heart. Humble my heart. Lord, let me always trust in you and humble my heart. Humble my heart. Humble my heart. Lord, let me always hope in you and humble my heart. Humble my heart. Humble my heart. Lord, let me always follow you and humble my heart. Lord, let me always follow you and humble my heart.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, without going into all the detail and turning this into an hour-long testimony, which it could very easily happen, I started the prayer vigil many, many, many years ago. I don't even know how many hundreds we've done. Some of them turned into teaching prayer vigils, some of them testimonials, but most of them are just to praise God, share the scriptures, take communion, and do some prayer for, you know, the lost of the world. Now, what's fascinating, though, is the order of events, because that's how it becomes and unravels into a miracle. If you're not aware of the order of events, you know, what happened first, what happened second, then it's not a miracle. It's just like, oh, I see. Okay, you learned by reading this article that if you prayed this way, this might happen, kind of thing. Well, it didn't happen that way. It happened the opposite way, which turns it into an actual miracle. But we have to reflect back on it, analyze it, you know, consider it, and then you're like, hey, wow, that's amazing. So the order of events were that I started the prayer vigil many years ago and hundreds of them as a result. I don't know why, and I just can't, I don't even try to analyze it or try to figure out why, because it would be fruitless. I would not be successful at understanding why. Okay. Simple as that. Okay. And I'd probably 200 or 300, maybe more things, events that have happened to me in my life that I just, there's no point in analyzing them. They're just miracles. They're just things that happen that I don't understand why, but when I look at all of them in this big, gigantic portfolio of events throughout my whole life, it all is ultimately funneling to where I am ultimately today. And that's a whole nother part of it. I'm not going to go into that because it would, just, again, this testimony just take hours to appropriately or adequately explain. All right. But anyway, So as the prayer vigil metamorphosed or changed over time, because I think that it's important for all of us to change. It's part of the walk of sanctification. Sanctification is the act of changing and hopefully becoming more holy and more close to the Lord, more purified in spirit as we progress and become more like Him. Okay, now, it's a journey. It's a long journey, and it can be not so easy. But anyway, I started to pray, and many of us who were a part of the prayer vigil during those times experienced that change. Okay, we may have been praying one way on this week, and then the next week, maybe just a slight change to the way that the prayers were spoken, okay, because the Lord would show me a little bit something new, and I'd be like, wait a minute, if there's an easier or newer or more effective, powerful way to pray, or a different way to wield the sword of the Spirit that is more effective, then certainly why wouldn't we want to adopt that method? Surely we would. Okay, praise God. We want to be as effective in our prayers as we possibly can. And when we understand the rules of engagement, when we understand what the rules are in the courts of heaven, you know, for example, if you don't know what the rules are as a royal priest, and we're all royal priests, like it or lump it, you're a royal priest. You might be a crummy royal priest, but there's plenty of room for all of us to grow. And I think, you know, and that's part of the sanctification process. Okay, so equate that to the courtroom, because that's what this is all really. I could go into how the scripture says that we will judge the angels someday. I could do a whole 3-4 hour show on just the courts of heaven and the scriptures that talk about that and ruling and reigning with Jesus and, you know, all that. All right, praise God. But what I wanted to share with you was, you know, if you don't understand the rules of the courts, okay, if you don't understand, and let me give you an example. Let's pretend that you just got your law degree. Let's pretend that you just got, you know, passed the bar, you've got hired, and now you're going into the courtroom to do your first court, you know, whatever it is that you're doing in the courtroom. You're just entered the courtroom. You're new at doing court things. And you have, let's pretend that you have 10 different motions that you can lift up before the judge. I'm placing a motion before you, and the lawyer filled out the paperwork to raise a motion to dismiss the charges against my client because of this or that. You know, could have ended the whole court case early, send your client home early. Everybody's happy. Nobody had to spend any time in jail. It's all a good thing. The court system isn't tied up. It was a wonderful motion that you filed. It was good for everybody involved. But you didn't know that you could file that motion. See, if you failed to file that motion because you did not understand the various options that you had to operate in the courtroom, then guess what? Your client ends up going to jail, loses his house, his children have to go into foster homes, and the horrible things that happen as a result of you not understanding as that lawyer in that courtroom that you could have filed that motion. And maybe you missed the deadline or whatever. So there's all these rules. And you might say, well, how do we learn those rules? Well, we learn those rules over time, spending time in the Word of God, sometimes taking training from others that are better at certain things than we are maybe, but also discerning. We never want to become a follower of another human being, no matter whether or not they're gifted or not, or we perceive them as being gifted. What we want to do is, you know, learn from as many teachers as we can, take the very best from every one of them, and then ride the wave up to a higher level of understanding as we continue to pursue, as a good Berean, more mysteries of the Bible, more advanced understandings of who are we as a royal priesthood? What does that entitle us to do in front of the courts of heaven? How does that allow us to, through the motions that we can raise before the Most High El Elyon, our Father, what advantage does that give us? And how can we use that power if we know how those rules are How can we use that to make other people's lives more glorious? How can we use that to save more souls and glorify our Father God? That's really what it's all about. And so why do I bring this all up? Well, now I'm going to cut to the – I'm going to go right for the moral of the story. Okay, so over time, as the prayer vigils changed little by little by little, I started to, I felt led, to start to pray more and more for the – now, I always did pray for the lost people of the world, but I changed up my tactics a little bit. And going back more than 10 or 11 years, I've been a very big fan of the scripture in Job 33 verses 14 and 15, where it basically says, summarizing, I'm not quoting it directly, but it's basically says, the Lord speaks once, yea, twice, but man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, and as a matter of fact, I think what I'll do is I will go ahead and bring this up because there may be a new revelation, and I just have to, if I fire up my PC study Bible, I'll go to Job 33:14, I believe that is. Yep. Yes, here it is. For God may speak in I think I took that from the King James. Yeah, for God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in the slumberings upon a bed. Then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and his pride and hide pride from man, keeping back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. Okay? That's pretty cool, huh? I think it's really awesome. All right, praise Jesus. Now, when we understand that, we understand that God can change people's lives in dreams and visions. Now, as the prayer vigils continued over the years and the years and the years, there was a gospel herald, and I read it frequently on the radio. This program, I'll only revisit and reread the gospel herald testimony from the missionaries over in the Middle East who were amidst Muslims of all different countries, as many as you could possibly imagine, I'm sure. And because that's what they're doing. They're going into encampments and all that, and they're getting these testimonies. You know, how did you find out about Jesus? Tell me your testimony. And they would tell the missionary that they had a dream. They saw Jesus. And Jesus lifted out his hand to them. They saw that man in the white robe. Now, I, over the years, have had so many confirmations of this that it's just unbelievable. We actually had a man come on the radio show as a guest. I'm sure I could play it as a best of show at some point. I'd have to do some digging to try to remember his name, of course, and I have the records. But this particular individual, we brought him on the radio show as a guest. He lived at the time, he lived over, I think it was New Zealand at the time, and he was a converted Muslim and loved Jesus with all of his heart. He was also a musician, and he played in public venues and gave praise to Jesus through his praise music. And he came on the radio show to give his testimony as a converted ex-Muslim and now a son of God through the power and anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood. What a wonderful testimony that was. Well, during his visit on the program, he testified that the way that he was brought to Christ was he had a vivid vision, a dream that was like real, like he was awake and he was like, wow. And then he saw Jesus, the man in the white robe, and he glorified him and he woke up and that just changed his life. And he gave his whole life to Jesus and he started to serve him in all aspects of his walk. And we had him on the show to give testimony about that. And then I was like, wow, because I didn't know how that's what happened to him. I did not know. We didn't know when we brought him on the show that that's what happened to him. We didn't know. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. And I told him, I even mentioned live on the show. I said to him, I said, oh my gosh, that's how we pray on the prayer vigil. And he said, well, then you better keep praying like that. That's what he said. He told us, keep on praying like that because it's working. All right. So not only did we have, thank you, Jesus, the Gospel Herald article from the missionaries about all the Muslims that we're seeing, you know, coming to Jesus through the dreams and the visions, just like it says in Job 33, 14 and 15 and 16, et cetera. But then we had that man come on the radio show to give his testimony, and he confirmed it. That's what happened to him. In the meantime, we were already praying that way on the prayer vigil. So what came first, the chicken or the egg? That's the fascinating miracle part about the whole story, is that we were already praying on the prayer vigil that way. We were praying that God, through dreams and visions of the night, would send angels down to witness the good news of the Gospels to the people that were lost. We were already praying that way before we received the Gospel Herald article. We were already praying that way before we brought the ex-Muslim and now converted son of God on the radio show. We were already praying that way. They were confirmations that came in afterward. Guess what? We just got another one. Praise Jesus. And I'm going to share this with you. Hallelujah. All right. And I've got to reflect back. Yep. It says that it's at the 3 minute and 53 second mark. So I've got to start
to talk about.
All right. Hold on a second. I'm going to try to find my way to the 3 minute and 53 second mark. All right. It's going to be a little bit challenging. Wait a minute. There's 3:58. Let's bring it back a little further. Okay. So this is at the 3 minute and 50 second mark. So very soon after I hit the play button, you will hear this person share a testimony. This is an amazing testimony. Let's listen. Praise God.
Different places shows that that's not the only reason. Now, interestingly, when you talk to Christian pastors, and I'm referring here to a very interesting article that quotes a number of these pastors, they claim that the reason that Muslims convert, or at least a substantial number of them convert, is that they have dreams and visions of Jesus Christ. Now, this is a little bit far out, but apparently an Iranian convert, this guy's fairly typical, he said, quote, many people are having dreams and visions about a shining man dressed in white telling them about Jesus. The leader of a Presbyterian church in Pakistan said that there were some Afghan imams who traveled hundreds of miles to study the Bible, and when he was asked, well, why are they doing that, he goes, quote, dreams. Christ appeared to them in their sleep. And then a Colorado pastor who conducts classes in Arabic via the radio and the internet, he goes, virtually all my students came following dreams.
That is amazing. Praise God. So this is a video. It's 8 minutes and 21 seconds long. And the title of it is, quote, millions of Muslims are converting to Christianity after having dreams and visions of Jesus Christ. Praise God. So I wanted to share that with you as encouragement, because as you pray together with us on this program for the salvation of the lost in various countries across the world, it's working, folks. I just want you to know that it's working. You're not seeing it. You're not seeing it. I know that. I'm not. And sometimes we get so lost in our, you know, a world of frustration over the things that we're having to deal with in our own lives, that, you know, we lose the blessing. We lose the blessing. Can you imagine? Let's just pretend. Let's think on a small scale. Let's be conservative in our estimates. But let's just pretend that maybe every time we pray this way, five people receive a vision of Jesus. Even though we're praying for millions, let's just pretend that only five receive that vision of Jesus and convert to Jesus. Now, we'll multiply that times 127 prayer vigils, right? So let's do that for a second. I'm pulling out my 10 key because I'm really crummy at math. 127 times 5 equals 635. So on an exceedingly conservative estimate of only five per prayer vigil, that would be 635 saved individuals that will be our friends in glory. That's a very conservative estimate. What if it's hundreds? Wow. Praise God. So if you are like most of us and you feel a little discouraged that you're not doing enough for God, rethink. Rethink that thought, because that thought's not coming from Jesus. That thought's not, that's a flesh thought. That needs to be put out. We need to get rid of it. And we need to embrace, keep our mind stayed on things above and not on things of the world. Colossians 3:3. Okay, we need to do that. We've got to be always vigilant, constantly vigilant of the blessing that is occurring in the unseen realm. And out of faith, remember Abram was justified through faith. The story of Abraham and how it all started with his son and all that, and you know, that justification through faith is held up by the apostles and throughout all of the New Testament multiple times as an example of how critically important it is for us to walk in that faith, to be justified in that faith, to live, to reside in it, to dwell in that faith. And by doing so, we are storing up incredible rewards. You know, you cannot imagine. I'm just letting you know. I hope it encourages you. If you think for one nanosecond that you're not doing amazing things for the creator of creation, for our heavenly Father, that the angels in heaven are singing to recognize the amazing things that you are doing for all of creation by virtue of your prayer, then you're missing the joy that should be upon your heart, the smile that should be on your face, because that is where our hearts and minds need to dwell. We need to walk daily in that happiness that we ought to have for those who are going to experience an eternity in beauty, love, glory, just such an incredible eternal ecstasy that words cannot, they truly cannot describe it. All by virtue of your prayers. Wow. Now, if that isn't encouraging for you, I can tell you that it's fantastically encouraging for me. And I praise God for that. And I know that I need, because I'm getting older. And as I get older, I'm in a stage right now, personally, maybe some of the listeners are as well, but I'm trying to prepare myself for the possibility, as much as I dislike the possibility. I dislike it. I don't want to stay here on this earth very much. I want to go home. I don't think there's any Christian who understands truly the glory of heaven that would want to stay here other than just to serve Jesus and to do more for him. Amen. All right. But I'm trying to prepare myself for the possibility, as much as I hope it's not true and it won't happen that way, but I want to prepare myself. You know, I've always been trained, and maybe some of you have as well, that we, you know, if we prepare ourselves for the worst case scenario, then the reality that we're going to have to go through will be so less impactful. It won't be as hard to go through it because we're already prepared for the worst case. So if we're prepared for the worst case, then whatever we end up getting has got to be better, right? Amen. All right. So I'm personally trying to prepare myself for what I perceive as the worst case. And that would be that we might have to be here for a little while longer than I would like. I don't know what that time is, and I don't want to even think about it, quite frankly. But I do want to prepare myself. And as part of that preparation, I know that at my current age, I have got to change my physical habits. my physical, you know, I've got to work out more. I've got to take care of my body. As we're supposed to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable as our spiritual service of worship to God. So if we're allowing our bodies to decay, which is the temple of God in the Holy Spirit, and is that which we exhibit or project the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and change people's lives through it. Our bodies, our body, our soul, our spirit, our flesh, our heart, which makes up who we are here on the earth. That's why we're commanded to take care of our bodies, right? Well, I know that I've got to make some changes in my life because there's no way I can sustain this. I can't continue to go into my 60s and have no physical exercise, no working. I got to work out. I've got to make. And so, of course, that requires extra energy, more discipline, more of a positive attitude. They all go hand in hand. If you wake up feeling crummy and you're in a really like super duper crummy mood, when you wake up, you're like, oh, no, not another day. I can't believe it. You know, we've got to train ourselves to get up and just say, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. You know, we have got to get up and reprogram ourselves through our behaviors and our choices to not limit God, to praise him for the day. When we think things are going south and sideways, we praise him for it. It doesn't limit him. He can do miracles in our lives and make those extra efforts. Pray fervently to the Father to give you more physical strength, to change the direction of your lives. Put away the bag of Snickers bars, raising my hand. Boy, do I love to pound down a big old 5-pound bag of miniature Snickers of ours, especially this time of year. Okay, you know, put that stuff away, change your behaviors, make those choices, and do it because you love the Lord. Do it because you know you might be here just a little bit longer than you'd like, and that you need to increase the quality of your life, the level of energy that you have, so that you can better serve God. And your life will be better, your attitude will be better, your prayers will be stronger and more powerful, and more wonderful and glorious things will ultimately happen. And you might even, imagine this, get to see the fruits of your labor in prayer. And when you get to see the fruits of your labor in prayer, it's a powerful and mighty blessing. Just like this man's testimony that I just played for you, as millions of Muslims. Now, guess what? It isn't just Muslims. It just so happens that this guy happens to be a converted Muslim, and he's focusing his ministry on saving more Muslims. So that's his testimony. But guess what? It's not just Muslims. People are being saved in parts of the world because of your prayers that aren't able to be reached by missionaries. And guess what? It accelerates and speeds up the how fast we're going to ultimately end up in heaven. And you're like, what do you mean? Why would you say that? Because there's a point in time in the scripture that is referred to as when the fullness of the Gentiles have been brought in. And we don't know what that number is. But look, how many are being brought in by virtue of our prayer. And the only word that even begins to capture the glory of that is wow. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And on that note, we shall move further into the prayer vigil. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we exhibit, we exude, and we use that gift of power from our Lord Jesus Christ to pray for ourselves and our loved ones. Thank you, Father. Father, we exercise the rule of the victor, the Lord Jesus Christ, over any demonic region that would attempt to set their wills against us. We exercise the rule of the victor, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, over any demonic region that would permit evil spirits in or through their territory for the purpose of coming against us. We command in Jesus' name that they be immediately cut off from ever receiving power from the kingdom of darkness again. We require the immediate disbursement of all of their funds from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We require the immediate destruction of all their books and artifacts of sorcery. And indeed, we require in Jesus' name the immediate reversal of all their schemes, cancellation of all their assignments against us and our loved ones. Penalties applied, we cast them into the pit. Principalities, powers, strongholds, spiritual hosts of wickedness, and rulers of darkness in high places, demonic entities, live or dead human spirits, any entity that works on behalf of HaSatan in the name of Jesus Christ, members of witch covens. At the moment that you set the very moment that you set your wills against us, we declare in Jesus' name the holy fire of God to shoot down from the glory pillar in the throne room of God and to burn you in the screaming and horrific agony in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We declare in Jesus' name that holy fire to shoot down from the heavens and to burn, indeed vaporize, any weapon, earthly or spiritual or fiery dart that is launched against us in Jesus' name or our loved ones. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father. We declare the holy fire of God to swirl amidst the whirlwind of the Holy Spirit around about our dwelling place on all sides. We plead with the courts of heaven for the dispatch of warrior angels to stand guard at our dwelling places, at the doorways of our dwelling places, and to constantly watch over us in Jesus' name. We plead, Father God, with your courts, and we decree in the name of Jesus for the dispatch of a platoon of warrior angels, strike angels, Father God, SEAL Team 7, angels on a search and destroy mission to be sent out on our behalf to ferret out the forces of darkness that attempt to come against us and to strike them deaf, blind, and dumb, place them under arrest, and cast them into the pit. We declare the fire of God to weld that pit shut, to permeate the pit, to burn them into agony in Jesus' name, and we plead the blood of Jesus to seal the pit, that they may not be released ever again. In the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. We thank you, Father God. We praise your holy name. We pray for that holy fire to swirl around about our loved ones and to protect them, Father God, at all times. We pray in the name of Jesus that that holy fire will engulf and completely encapsulate our prayers like a fire tornado as they reach up into the spiritual realm and they melt the firmament of the rock, scattering the darkness in all directions and uniting with the glory pillar in the throne room of God. Hallelujah. And we pray in Jesus' name that that holy fire will mingle with that whirlwind of the Holy Spirit in such a manner that it will continue to follow us all throughout this week, and that the people that we witness to, the people that we touch when we plant seeds, will be brought to the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. At this time, I use holy oil in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Praise you, Jesus. We consecrate ourselves into your hands, Lord Jesus. We are yours. Whatever you may do, we thank you. We want nothing else more than your will to be done in our lives. We renounce all things spoken of in the darkness against us. We declare and decree in Jesus' name, Father, your abundant grace, the living water, and the crystal river to be poured out upon us. Lord Jesus, we plead your blood to cover us, to heal us, to change us, and to just fill us, to convert us even more, to make us more pure before thee. We declare that no weapons raised against us shall exist, that the fire of God will vaporize them. We rebuke the devil. We resist all darkness. It must flee. We cancel all demonic assignments placed against us. We tear up all demonic contracts placed against us or our loved ones. We break all yokes of bondage, all curses stated against us, they are of no accord. They mean nothing. They are vaporized. We declare the holy fire, authority, hedge of protection around about us and our loved ones on all sides, a whirlwind of the Holy Spirit to blow it white hot in the name of Jesus, punching through the spiritual realm and directly into the throne room of God. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that that whirlwind of the Holy Spirit will blow this fire white hot in all places and change things for us, Father God, in a manner that we are able to more greatly serve thee and bring more people to the knowledge of the truth and the glory of eternal bliss. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you, Father God. Hallelujah and amen.
If your vessel was down enough, am I worthy enough to seek him, or have I forsaken my quest for the lost? You seem to forget that I would never let my children fall prey to destruction. Your longing itself is the proof that you are mine. Praise the pain away, don't forget where you belong. Like the steadiness of the sun, keep on burning, never turn. Just keep this up and you will learn that my children need my light every day. It would always wake you up. Now look at my eyes in your mirror and give me one single reason to stop. The wrong that you did, I won't remember it. What matters to me is that your spirit is shining. Just rest in my light and watch those shadows dissolve. Praise the pain away, don't forget where you belong. Like the steadiness of the sun, keep on burning, never turn. Keep this up and you will learn that my children need my light every day. Never forget that this is always your home. You can come as you are and you'll always be loved. In my presence, time is gone. Future mistakes were all forgiven by me. If you hold to my word, you will always be free. This promise will stand till the end of time. It was paid in full when I called you mine. Take the pain away. Don't forget where you belong. Like the steadiness of my sun. Keep on burning. Never turn away. Just keep this up. And you will learn that my children needs my light every day.
the moment they began their shouts and praises, the Lord set an ambush against the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the inhabitants of Mount Seir, who came to fight against Judah, and they were defeated. 2 Chronicles 20:22. Paul and Silas, undaunted, prayed in the middle of the night and sang songs of praise to God, while all the prisoners listened to their worship. Suddenly, a great earthquake shook the foundations of the prison, and all at once, the prison doors flung open, and the chains of all of the prisoners came loose. Acts 16:25-26. Praise you, Jesus. Thanks be to thee, Father, and our Lord Jesus, for all the benefits that you have won for us, for all the pain and insults that you have borne for us. O merciful Redeemer, friend, and brother, may we know thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, and follow thee more nearly, forever and ever. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. The power of the saints. 1 John 5:16. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, oops, there's that little proof about sins of death, which I spoke about recently. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he, that would be us, will ask, and he, our Father God, will give him life for those who commit sins not leading to death. So what does this mean? Well, when you see a brother or a sister, or you experience a brother or a sister sinning, you know, maybe they're, oh my gosh, the list is so huge, right? And you pray for them, guess what? Right here it says in 1 John 5:16 that God will give them life. He will forgive them of their sins. Because of why? Because you prayed, Father, forgive them. Wow. That's some serious power. Here's another one, Job 22:30. He, our Father God, will even deliver from hell the one for whom you intercede, who is not innocent. Yes, he will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands. That's Job 22:30. That's an amazing thing, right? By the cleanness of your hands, by the purity of your hands, by your continuous inspection of yourself, looking at how you are and confessing of your sins, it's a continuous growth process. And being cleansed of all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9, by our Father, you will have clean hands as long as you persist at it and continue to seek that purification through seeking God. All right. And when, you know, when you are practicing righteousness, 1 John 3:7, you, by virtue of such, have clean hands. Then, in accordance with Job 22:30, you, when you intercede for others, will be able to, through your prayers, deliver that person from the pit. Why? Because of the cleanness of your hands, God will respond to those prayers. Praise God. Another scripture that captures the power of Christ in us as a royal priesthood is 1 Corinthians 7:14. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Imagine that an unbeliever, someone who does not even believe, not even for a microsecond, that Jesus is Lord, but they can be sanctified just by virtue of their spouse's belief in Jesus. Now do you understand why? One of the reasons why our Heavenly Father, unfortunately, it's tough. Nobody knows these things, but I definitely understand them, and I know a lot of people do. This is one of the reasons why our Father wants us to hang in there, even when we're in the most unfortunate of situations with our spouses, because the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Then it goes on and gives you a mystery. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. Did you know that children could be unclean? Wow. amazing mysteries in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 5:5, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Okay, this is talking about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul wrote this, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. Okay, and the reason why he in the epistle, he writes about, you know, a particular individual or individuals or whatnot that were not responding to, you know, kind admonishment. And they continued to, you know, say things they shouldn't be saying and misleading other believers and kind of dragging him into a bad place. And Paul couldn't get through to them. So he prayed and turned that individual over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Sounds kind of mean, right? But then when you realize the reason why he did it so that that person's spirit could be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. He did it so that person would ultimately find their way back to Jesus for the destruction of the flesh. What do you think that means? What it means is that when Paul turned that individual over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that person became very violently sick. Very sick. Probably on their deathbed. And at that time, on their deathbed, it is highly likely that that individual sought the Lord in humility, cried out to God to forgive them for anything that they had done wrong, and by virtue of such, made it into glory. Isn't that fascinating? How our Heavenly Father, through the saints, can save the soul of an individual that would otherwise end up in eternal hellfire via being, you know, being handed over to Satan. Now, God's not going to destroy the flesh, but he'll allow the devil to attack somebody for the purpose of bringing them to heaven. That's amazing. Praise God. Also, you have John 20:23. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now, some people that have been more formally trained and gone to theological college, they do not understand this scripture. But when you compare this scripture to 1 John 5:16, Job 22:30, 1 Corinthians 7:14, 1 Corinthians 5:5, when you compare it to the other scriptures, then you quickly realize that it means what it says. Most theologically trained individuals, most preachers and teachers will not, they do not believe that we have the ability to forgive somebody of their sin. Now, granted, we are not God, okay, but we are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus. We are a royal priesthood, and by virtue of what I've just read to you through all these other scriptures, he will even deliver the one from hell for of whom you intercede who is not innocent. Yes, he will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands. 1 John 5:16, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin in which he does not lead to death, he, the saint, will ask God, and God will give him life to those who commit sins not leading to death. And you might be like, well, what does that mean, a sin leading to death? Well, that would be, you know, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. It would be the sin of unforgiveness. That's a sin that leads to death. It leads straight to hell. That's a terrible thing, and that's why we must always put anyone who has ever done us wrong, anyone who has ever done us any wrong, they need to go to the very tippity top of our prayer list. And believe me, it's true. What Pastor William Law said, he said, there is no greater way to love a man than to pray for him. It completely flips everything around. And all that frustration and unforgiveness that you had in your heart will vanish away. It will melt away into a deep blue sea of Jesus's forgiveness. And believe you me, I speak as someone who has gone through this multiple times, that in that process of praying all the time, continuously, for those who have done the meanest, most horrible things to you in your life, you will come to a place where tears will well up in your eyes as you pray for them. You will actually beg God not to send them to hell. It will happen. It will happen. But first, you have to put them at the top of your prayer list. Praise God.
I love you, Lord, you are my strength. Lord, the one true rock and my strong fortress. A refuge and deliverer. A shield and only power that can save me. And my one and only place of safety. And I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be delivered from all of my enemies. Destruction swept all. Grave cords coiled around me, while death lay trapped at my door. And I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be delivered from all of my enemies. My distress, I called on God. To the Lord for help I cry. Promised him, for he heard my voice. My cry to him, it reached his side. And I will call upon worthy to be praised. So shall I be delivered from all of my
God. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the mercy by which you allow us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, as our spiritual service of worship to you. Father God, it's not our will to be conformed to this world. We wish and pray that you will transform us by the renewing of our mind. Whatever things we feel and think that are out of alignment with your holy will, teach us, Father, so that we may stop that which is not holy and righteous and receive your blessing in accordance with thy will We pray that we will be good, prove to be good and acceptable, and ultimately perfect to what your will is in our lives. By the grace that you give us, Father, we pray that you will show us and teach us how we would not esteem ourselves more or less important to the body of our Lord Jesus than any other. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the spiritual gifts that you give us, that we may prophesy in proportion to our faith and teach others with your word, giving liberally and to lead with diligence, showing mercy and cheerfulness. Father, show us how our love can be completely and utterly without any hypocrisy. Not fake, but true, coming from the depths of our heart through the presence of Jesus in us. Teach us to abhor that which is evil, to flee it, and to cling and to praise you for all things that are good. Father, we pray that you will teach us and lead us, supernaturally anoint us, such that we will be kind and affectionate to one another, to honor and to give to one another, not hesitating, but being diligent and fervent in spirit to serve you, Lord, and getting true joy from helping others. We'll continue to rejoice and praise you in hope. We praise you and thank you, and we will be patient through trials and tribulations. Father, we'll continue in providing for the needs of the saints. We'll give out of love with true hospitality. Father, we promise to try as hard as we can to bless those who curse and persecute us. We will rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We will be of one mind with one another as part of the body of Christ, through all humility and all love. We will be of that same mind. We will not become involved with setting our minds on high things or earthly aspirations, for that would put us in enmity with you, Father, and we want to be in harmony with you. We will not pretend to be wise as if we've been given some gift of knowledge, and we will always recognize that whatever we think we know nothing yet as we ought to know. We know, Father, that you have told us that vengeance is yours. So therefore we lay at the foot of the cross all those things which trouble us deeply, asking you, Father, to forgive them, for they know not what they do. We promise, Father, as hard as we can, with all of our heart, that we will continue to try, with your help, to live peacefully with all people in the world and be overcomers through Christ Jesus against all those things that would come against us in the flesh. Lord, we will offer drink to a thirsty enemy. We will offer food to an enemy that is hungry. We will abide in your word forever because we love you, Father God. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for bringing us through this journey. And we praise you and pray that you will not remember our sins, that you will blot out our iniquity and allow it all to dissolve into a deep blue sea of your glorious, merciful forgiveness forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We enter into communion.
As your disciples were seated about you at the eve of unleavened bread, you said, I eagerly yearn for this supper, and that you suffer so its children could be fed. I can only imagine the silence in the room as you passed on the bread to be torn. For they did not understand the reach of his plan in his love
We were told to rejoice, not to mourn. So we gather, remembering the glory of the Lamb, the one who was slain for the seed of Abraham. As we long for your coming, we imagine the feast, the King and his bride. When our waiting has ceased, you arose and went back up to heaven, to plead to the heavenly courts. You lifted the cup of forgiveness. It was paid, it was done, you had covered the cost. And I can only imagine the thunderous sound as all heaven exploded in cheers. We were free from our chains. Now all that remains is to never give in. We are destined to win. So we gather, remembering the healer of our soul, destroyer of death, the Lord over all, the light in our arm, the edge of our sword, the King of all kings, and the Lord of all lords. For we believe in a land, all of creation restored by his hand, eternity, all is revealed. By the time we remember, all scars will be healed. As we long for your coming, we imagine the feast, the Lord and his bride, when our waiting has ceased.
You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate upon these things. 1 Peter 2:9, Colossians 3:12, Philippians 4:8. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Titus 1:15. He, Jesus, went a little further and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Matthew 26:39. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by the angels, preached amongst the Gentiles, believed upon in the world, and received up in the glory. 1 Timothy 3:16. We pray for purification based upon Psalm 51:1-14. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, we pray that you'll have mercy on us, because golly, we need it. We really need it. According to your loving kindness and according to the multitude of your tender mercies, Father, please blot out all of our transgressions. Just blot them out. Never remember them again. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity and cleanse us from our sin. Father, we acknowledge our transgressions. We know our sin is always before us. Against you, Lord, you only we have sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, we were brought forth in iniquity, and in sin our mothers conceived us. Behold, you desire truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part you will make us to know your wisdom. Purge us, Father, with hyssop, and we shall be clean. Wash us, and we shall be whiter than snow. Make us your joy and gladness, Father, that the bones you've broken may rejoice. Hide your face from our sin. Blot out all of our iniquity. And Father, please, create in us a clean heart. Renew in us a steadfast spirit. Do not cast us away from your presence. And Father, help us to never grieve the Holy Spirit. Restore to us, Lord, the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with your generous spirit. And then we will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver us, Father, from the guilt of our sin, God of our salvation. And then our tongues will sing aloud of your righteousness. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. The Lord's Supper, Holy Communion. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In that same manner, Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Ani, vidodi vidodi li. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
You were hurt for my offense. You were sick for my disease. You were poor for my prosperity. You are strong when I am weak. I praise you, my Redeemer. I praise you, Majesty. You were left by God Almighty to always be with me. And I know I will never be alone.
We are the sons of God. We are the masters of the devil and the servants and foot washers of mankind. Ezekiel 22:30. So I sought for a man amongst them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Father, we heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send who will go for us? And we say, here we are. Send us. Isaiah 6:8. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance and let us work together. State your case that you may be acquitted. Isaiah 43:25. Most assuredly I say to you that he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go unto the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Ephesians 3:20. So all the power of Jesus Christ that can do anything works through us. Blessed is he who believes and has not seen. 1 John 3:8 and 9. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and it is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me, which means the purpose of us is to destroy the works of the devil. Colossians 2:15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, Jesus made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it, the cross. So if Jesus made a public spectacle of them, where would that be? In the realm that they reside. And so shall we. Intensified prevailing prayer is God's ordained law and method for implementing his redemptive plan in this age until Jesus returns. It is the highest, the holiest, and the mightiest effort of which a child of God is capable. Imagine that. It is God's chosen way to bring heaven's power, heaven's resources, and heaven's angels into action upon the earth. Charles Spurgeon said, he who knows how to overcome with God in prayer has heaven and earth at his disposal. Intensified prayer is clothed with the might of God himself. I lean on that word intensified. It's in the book Mighty Prevailing Prayer by Wesley L. Duell. The effective, fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much, James 5:16. Fervent meaning having or displaying a passionate intensity, impassioned, passionate, intense, vehement, ardent, sincere, fervent, and heartfelt. And this is all over the Bible, and so few see it. 2 Kings 20, verse 5. King Hezekiah, he's going to die. But our Father says, I have seen your tears, and I will answer you. Passionate, intense. Do you want to be heard? Mark 16:17-18. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly or ingest anything deadly, because the word drink means to ingest, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Do you believe? 10:4-6. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not earthly in nature at all. But they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing. Those are principalities, powers, spirituals, wickedness, etc., etc., etc. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's some serious power there. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Luke 10, verse 19, Jesus said to the 70 sinners that he sent out into the countryside, he said, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Mark 9:25. When Jesus saw that the people had come running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Why did Jesus wait until the people came running together? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Oh. Just remember, when you are bold, when you pray out loud in front of other people and an act of faith, that glorifies God. And you can believe the likelihood that you will see that miracle take place, or that it will, the unseen will take place, if it is in that, you know, unseen, then it's magnified 1,000 times 1,000, I'm sure, because you're glorifying God. That's why Jesus waited until the people came running together. And then when they all came running around, he was like, "Oh, well, here we go. Here's my chance. Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." To glorify God. Matthew 12:43-45. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes to dry places seeking rest and finds none. And then he says, "I will return to my house from which I came." And then he comes and finds it empty, swept and put in order. And then he goes and takes with him 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. So shall it be with this wicked generation. That's why Jesus told the man, he said, "Now go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Praise God. We thank you, Father. We praise your holy name. Thank you for the power that you have given us. Thank you for your forgiveness that is eternal and merciful. Praise your holy name. We pray, Father, on behalf of the lands of the world. Dear Heavenly Father, we raise up a golden bowl of forgiveness on behalf of the peoples of the lands of Oceania. Father, we pray for the peoples of the lands of Papua New Guinea, of the Indonesian Archipelago Island nations such as Malaysia, Jakarta, Singapore, Father God. We hold up Borneo in Jesus' name, Sumatra, Sulawesi, Father, in Jesus' name. We lift up Australia, New Zealand, the Solomon Islands, and in Jesus' name we lift up all the South Pacific Islands as well. Every man, woman, and child of every nation, tribe, and tongue. We hold up a golden bowl of forgiveness, Father, before thee, and we pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Pour out the golden bowl of forgiveness upon them in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. And as Nehemiah did in chapter 1, verse 6, on behalf of all of Israel, and as a royal priesthood, 1 Peter 2:7, we confess of their sins before thee, Father. We confess of the sins of their first fathers and their fathers' fathers until before there was time. We break all yokes of bondage. We renounce all things spoken of in the darkness against them in Jesus' name. We break all generational and bloodline curses on their behalf throughout every branch of their family trees, until before there was time. Thank you, Jesus. Principalities, powers, and strongholds, spiritual host of wickedness and rulers of darkness in high places above the lands of Oceania, we come against you. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus and by the blood of the Lamb of God, we decree fire swords of cherubim to be shut down from the heavens and to cut you in a horrific agony. We declare the fire of God to launch down from the glory pillar and to burn you in horrible screams, and making a public spectacle of you thereof across all of the demonic ether in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And Father, we pray for an innumerable company of angels of war, fully clad in the armor of God, diamond tip sword sharp as razor blades, to enter into the spiritual realm and to wage war against you demons of darkness, such as never been seen since before there was time. unclean spirits, deaf and dumb spirits, anything that cannot call Jesus Christ its Lord and Savior, binding or hindering the hearts and the minds of the lost peoples across all of the lands of Oceania. We come against you. In the name of Jesus, we command you. Strong men, come forth. In the name of Jesus, come out of those people now. We have loosed your legal rights to them by the hundreds of millions, and we command you to come out. Unclean spirits, subordinate spirits, leave them now. In the name of Jesus Christ, come forth. We decree in Jesus' name, hundreds of trillions of legions of warrior angels to descend upon thee, to strike you deaf, blind, and dumb, place you under arrest, and cast you into the pit. We declare the fire of God to weld the pit shut. We declare the fire of God to permeate the pit and to burn you into screaming agony. We have come to punish you before your time. And we decree in the name of Jesus and plead with the courts of heaven for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to seal the pit. For only the Lamb of God can break the seals. We declare in Jesus' name the holy fire of God, a thorny hedge of protection and a whirlwind of the Holy Spirit to blow it white hot and to encapsulate every man, woman, and child on all sides across all of the lands of Oceania in the name of Jesus. Let nothing unclean re-enter the clean swept house. Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, we pray your abundant grace, the living water, the crystal river, to enter into their hearts, to fertilize the soil therein, that they shall receive the seeds of these prayers. These prayers will bear fruit in the name of Jesus, and the fruit will remain in accordance with John 15:16. And Father, we pray in Jesus' name for an innumerable company of angels of light and love to descend upon all of the lands of Oceania and to come upon all of these people in dreams, in visions of the night when deep sleep falls upon men, to save their souls from the pit and to seal their instruction in open and standing visions of the day. Holy Lord Jesus, we pray that you will show yourself before all of them. Show them, call them by their name. In their native tongue, lift your hand of compassion to them, we pray. Let them see the man in the white robe and give themselves forever and ever into your heart and hands. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we raise up the golden bowl of forgiveness before your supreme courts of heaven, and we pray in the name of Jesus in accordance with your will, for we know that you would want not one to perish. We part the spiritual realm as the Red Sea above the lands of Asia. We part the spiritual realm as the Red Sea above the lands of Oceania for safe passage for heaven's angels, heaven's resources, and heaven's power to flow freely upon these lands in accordance with thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Pour out this golden bowl of forgiveness upon all of the peoples of the lands of Asia, Father, in Jesus' name. Across all of the lands of India, Pakistan, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan. Father God, we pray for the peoples of the lands of Mongolia, Burma, Nepal, in Jesus' name. Russia, China, Laos, Cambodia, Vietnam. Hallelujah. We praise your name upon all of the peoples, Father God, of North and South Korea, Okinawa, Japan, Taiwan, and the Philippines, and all lands in between. Pour out your golden bowl of forgiveness upon all of these nation states, Father God, and all of the people therein, the billions that reside there. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And thank you, Father. Amen. As your servant Nehemiah did in chapter 1, verse 6, on behalf of all of Israel, and as a royal priesthood, 1 Peter 2:9, we confess of the sins of the peoples of the lands of Asia. We confess of the sins of their first fathers and their fathers' fathers until before there was time. We renounce all things spoken of in the darkness in Jesus' name against them. We break all generational and bloodline curses throughout every branch of their family trees until before there was time in Jesus' name. Principalities, powers, and strongholds, spiritual hosts of wickedness and rulers of darkness in high places above the lands of Asia, we come against you in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sever your heads with the sword of the Spirit, and we call down fire swords of cherubim to cut you into pieces. We declare fire of God to launch down from the glory pillar and to burn you into screaming agony, making a public spectacle of you thereof, in accordance with Colossians 2:15, in Jesus' name. And we decree hundreds of trillions of legions of warrior angels, fully clad in the armor of God, following archangels in the name of Jesus, to strike you deaf, blind, and dumb, and to wage war against thee such as never been seen since before there was time. Hallelujah. unclean spirits, deaf and dumb spirits, strong men, we have loosed your legal rights to the peoples of the lands of Asia, and we command you in the name of Jesus to come out! Come out! In Jesus' name, we bind and cast you into the pit. Subordinate spirits, release them now. Come forth. We decree hundreds of trillions of legions of warrior angels to descend upon thee and to strike you deaf, blind, and dumb, place you under arrest, and cast you into the pit. We declare the fire of God to weld the pit shut, to permeate the pit, and to burn you into screaming agony. And we plead the blood of Jesus to seal the pit. For only the Lamb of God can break the seals. Father, we thank you for doing this, even if but for a time, that we may be able to reach otherwise unreachable souls. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, we declare your holy fire, a thorny hedge of protection and a whirlwind of the Holy Spirit to encapsulate them, all of them, all 2 billion plus, in the name of Jesus, on all sides, that nothing unclean may re-enter the clean swept house. Protect them, Father God, even if but for a time, that your power, your authority, heaven's angels and heaven's resources may reach them in Jesus' name. And we declare your abundant grace, the crystal river and the living water of life, to flow deep into their hearts, to fertilize the soil therein, so that they will receive the seeds of these prayers. These prayers will bear fruit in Jesus' name, and the fruit will remain in accordance with John 15:16. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. And Father, we pray for an innumerable company of angels of light and love to descend upon them in dreams, in visions of the night when deep sleep falls upon men, to save their souls from the pit in Jesus' name. And to seal their instruction, we are asking for miracles to occur. We thank you, Father God, for your will be done. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Father God, for saving souls that otherwise could not be reached in any other manner. We praise you, Jesus. Your will be done. Thank you, Father. We thank you for changing our lives, for changing the way we feel about our plight here on earth, to give you glory and to thank you in the midst of the trials and the tribulations, that we would not limit you, Father, and that you would be able to do amazing things, amazing change in each of our lives as we walk closer, ever closer and more in the dwelling place of the secret place of the Most High. Praise your name, Father. We thank you for your eternal mercy. Amen. See you next Friday, Lord willing.
Lord, we come to you with repentant hearts. We seek you with all our might. Sinners at the mercy of grace, redeemed we are by your embrace. Praise his holy name. Praise the King of Kings. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? For you we will endure until you come back for your bride to set her free. Write our names in your book of life. We are cleansed through your holy sacrifice as we lift your name on high. Renew our mind, renew our soul, remove the scars from our past and deem us righteous. We rebuke all deceptive lies. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then, we will endure. We are the branches on a living tree. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then, we will endure. until you come back for your bride to set her free. Watch us as we trim our wicks. Our lamps are full, our hearts are light. Like those five wise virgins we will be. Your bride awaits, sleep patiently. Longing for that blessed sound. The churches gather, we're praying that we're worthy, Lord, to join our family. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? We will endure, and while we wait, we will bring forth the fruit of the light of Christ. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then, we will endure. Until you come back for your bride to set it free.